So, does anyone want to share some thoughts about this? Some examples? No? Yes? Okay, but, well, we can wrap up. Norbert?
So, we continue the tradition of talking about dance.
What else would I do? What we figured, or when we tried to understand in our group, how does this all belong together, or what are we talking about? And I may or may not be wrong on that, but with the discussion you just have, you can challenge me on that, and we can figure out how we understand this together. So I thought a lot about how I interact on a swing dance floor, specifically when there is a really good live band playing. So usually I would go on that floor, try to find a dance partner. Based on stupid gender stereotypes, I would usually anticipate that women are following, even though I follow myself. So, but you would ask somebody to dance, and you would ideally believe that we kind of know how to dance to this music. So you try to find a spot on the dance floor, you start moving, and the way you interact, the way the physical interactions, like these rules that you assume they have been established before, like everybody there on the dance floor more or less knows what's going to happen. And then you do something, but maybe the partner you're dancing with doesn't exactly do what you anticipated, because either your leading wasn't clear, or they just had a really crazy other idea that they were like, yeah, I know you want to do this, but I really feel like doing that. And then they do something completely different, and you're like, how do I deal with that? So you need to correct your model of what's going on next quite rapidly, because you still want to move on through the dance. It doesn't just stop just because your partner ran somewhere completely different. You also, what you're doing has an effect on the people around you. So your actions as a system have an effect on all the other systems around you. But also their movements have an effect on what you are able to do and where you can move and what you can do. And now with swing dancing, it's a bit different than with many other dances possibly, because you have this music, but there are people dancing probably Charleston, there are people dancing more Lindy Hop, there are people dancing more Balboa, whatever, doesn't really matter what that all means to you, but it's different types of dancing, they all look a bit different and they all influence the space around you in a different way. So you can't just assume, as David said in the beginning when we were talking about dancing, that everybody kind of does the same or is more or less similar to the others. But they're actually quite different, and while there are rules about how you generally want to dance, there aren't any rules like you need to go in a circle all around, like in Foxtrot or in Fast Waltz or something. So it's really quite a mess on that dance floor. And you still want to survive. You really don't want to kick all the other people. You want to have a nice time. But then when you have a good live band, that's another different system. That kind of influences your environment. But you can't really predict what's going on. With a record, like if you're dancing to DJ music, you might know the song, you know all the breaks, you know when stuff is happening, you can prepare your cool moves or whatever. But with a live band, not so much. There are still some kind of underlying rules that you can kind of foresee what's coming on, but it's still jazz music. So the musicians, they take solos. Everything is very spontaneous, and you kind of try to react to that. So a musician there might, like the clarinetist, might take a solo, and then I had this once, which was a really, like, when it becomes really nice, that's why I'm saying live band, you do your interpretation of the music, but the band also reacts to that. So the musician who was doing the solo saw me interpreting what he was doing, what he was playing, and then he reacted on that. So he picked up what I was doing. So we were kind of co-evolving, like we were influencing each other back and forth. But also, due to that, his playing changed because he saw us as an inspiration. So with his playing, the whole band's playing changed. So the interactions between those musicians on stage were going on. And that, in turn, had another effect on the whole dance floor, because what this individual musician did there had an influence on the band, and the whole dance floor tried to react to this kind of atmosphere that the band was now creating, partly because of what I was doing there, interpreting the music. And in the next turn, it would be maybe another soloist, trumpet or something, and they would be inspired by some other dances and stuff. So it's a lot of interactions going on back and forth. So that's a way how we kind of made sense of all of this. A change in environment, co-evolution, anticipatory systems. It might help you or it might not, but I hope by that time now you have taken something from our presentation. So thank you, and let's move to the discussion part. We can switch on the lights.
Where are the challenge groups?
Here.
Which number?
Number one.
Okay, shoot.
I was actually going to ask how climate change and all the changes in the world right now are going to affect or are affecting coevolution and anticipatory resistance, but Orna kind of touched upon that already. But maybe how do you, for example, the tree example, how do you think that, do you think that there's a risk that there will be more like wrong predictions, and that will be a bigger challenge than making these predictions based on the anticipator systems?
You mean the prediction of the trees?
Yeah, like would it be better not to have this anticipation to make sure that there's not wrong predictions? Or like, have you thought about that?
No, but we are doing that. But we are processing. With anticipatory system, so there would no wrong prediction.
Exactly, like
so it would be more like a reaction.
Yeah, I mean, for example, climate change and the tree example. The tree changes according to what it predicts will happen. Winter will come, so the leaves are gonna drop. But what if, say, winter wouldn't be so strong, so then it would react in a wrong way? Is there a bigger risk of that harming it, or so? Do you understand what I mean?
Yes. I think it's come to the final, like, if I put it in the way that it's come to the final purpose that the trees want to survive. Mm-hmm. So first, they try, why it's come to anticipatory system, because the underlying theory is that they try to explain things by the selection theory. So because you have a good behavior, a good reaction, so you survive. In a certain environment, but then and then that kind of species, they were just going on because they react like accordingly, so with their prediction. But then, because in the article I read that they try to explain that because when tree do things, if you think the tree shut down the things, the photosynthesis, and then rob the leaves, but with the evergreen tree, they don't rob their leaves, but they do something different. They will create some chemical reaction in their fluid in order to not freeze. So they don't have a certain behavior to a certain, we think that temperature is like constant, it change constant, but then the tree itself, they have certain information about themselves, like they're different from the normal tree and the evergreen tree. So that's why they try to anticipate in order to survive. The same changes, but different internal information.
And as I understood it, there's also the possibility if, like, the anticipation was wrong,
mm-hmm.
there's a steering device which can, like, evolve, like, how the anticipation will be, or, like, the prediction will be in the future. So if it was like an arrow, then it will change their prediction.
It's like learning.
Let's go back to learning.
Can I ask? If I got it right, you were kind of asking whether it would be better if the trees weren't anticipatory.
Yeah, I'm just kind of trying to link it to, for example, our topic of appreciator systems, where you adapt according to the change.
Yeah.
So you don't predict necessarily, but you adapt to the change when it comes. So kind of with the changes in the global environment right now, have you thought about, would it be better to just change your actions based on the like changes, or to try to predict them? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess there isn't, I guess one doesn't really have the decision that much because of the learning process that has been going on, that you make predictions of something or you anticipate certain things to happen. But I think when it comes to these kind of problems like climate change, where you can't really anticipate, and you're saying, well, wouldn't it then be better to not anticipate but just see what happens, a way of dealing with that seems to be like rather like go for the collaboration. So there are different systems making different anticipations about what's going to happen, and if you put them together, maybe something good can come out of that, because you can't the way I understood it, what Kim was saying is also that you have to be kind of faster, like it's faster than real time, so the prediction helps you to get prepared beforehand. So if you only would react, you would possibly die as a tree or as a human or something. So your survival strategy requires this kind of anticipation based on the learning you've been doing before, but there are these cases where there is error, and when you can't predict or when you can't anticipate the environment good enough, one coping strategy with that in turbulent environment would be collaborate with as many as possible different systems that are diverse, that make different anticipations about what's going to happen and how to adapt to that, and then you could maybe survive together. Whereas when you leave out anticipation all in all, you're all going to die because nobody has a clue of what's going to happen or something, and you can't adopt fast enough.
I think Carolina was first.
But can you say that anticipatory system comes out of the co-evolution between the tree and the environment? So the anticipatory system is just something that sprung out of the co-evolution? Or do they have any linkage? Just trying to connect everything.
The way I understand it here is like with co-evolution, something happened and you react to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I put it the way I understand it, like you react to it, and then it's like, okay, you receive something, you feedback to it. But the way I anticipate the system, you just have the information.
But I guess the tree will get that information from reacting with the environment over time, and then it learns that in the future this will happen, so then I have to do this.
I feel that co-evolution is actually more about reacting.
Mm-hmm.
It's about changing the strategy because the other one is changing its strategy. So it's actually, I don't know, like I would say that's something that you maybe can't predict.
You see that from the beginning, like, because I guess the tree didn't know before.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me help. So we shouldn't use the word react generally, you should more respond.
Okay?
Because reacting usually is done without thinking. So the current president of the International Society of System Sciences is John Kinnaman. John Kinnaman has been working with Judith Rosen, who is Robert Rosen's daughter. Right? So we have this long arc going on, and he's created this new model called relational science. And now you got some clue as to why, like, he's working on the stuff, because we're right at the edge. Now, the reason I bring that up is John and Judith they now call the Relational Science Special Integration Group at the ISSS. It used to be called What is Life and Living? And this will be an interesting kind of blend when we have the afternoon group, when we talk about living systems. But in effect, you get into the question Are all living systems anticipatory? Which, like, I don't know, I have to think about that question. I don't have an answer. But that I think you're kind of asking that question. Are all living systems anticipatory? Yes, and if they are learning, at what level do they learn? So do they learn at a phenogenetic level or a genetic level? Right. So the moth they're talking about was genetic plus natural selection. And so, yeah, these things are all kind of blending together now. So yeah, I don't know if I answered your question. Did I answer the question or not? You kind of get the feel?
No, you answered with a question. Yeah, you had the picture of what it was. Bringing the future to the present with the anticipatory system. So, did you say because you have the anticipatory system based on learning, so could you say that you're bringing the past to the future and the future to the present? Could you say it?
Can you
explain it?
Like, can you
read
it?
Yeah,
because you're anticipating stuff and it's based on something
you haven't before.
I see it that way as well, but
yeah.
I don't know if it's so. Because the reason why I put the time, past, future, and present, yeah. Because they explain that if you do something, you react to something.
Yeah, sure.
And then mistake, you learn, then it's like feedback.
Yeah.
So there could be an arrow like here.
Yeah.
I see, but I don't know. Is it? I don't want to mislead anyone.
So you mean that you focus on the past and then
the
future?
Yeah, I think the past affects because the stuff you learned in your past that has an effect on your anticipating.
Of course, you change your model based on the experience you make.
Right.
And and with the model you have that you create based on what you learn,
so
you try to anticipate what's going on in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, as you're saying, the past influences the future in that sense, and then the future influences what you do in the present because you might not have anticipated correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So you, by that time, it's already passed again, you change your model, and then you go into the next situation, you try to anticipate what's going on there, and see whether it works. And if it doesn't work according to your model, ideally you would change that model so that it better prepares you for situations to come in the future.
Yeah, because like the our present contain all the past. The reason why we are present now because all the past, so that's linked into the present and the future.
Well, with with all this, do you think that the tree example is the best because it doesn't plan for the future because it's a tree, it doesn't know how to plan, and I don't think it's anticipatory because it knows the seasons, or it knows that there are seasons and it acts accordingly. And linking to Petra's comment, it will only change when it has enough evidence that it should act in a different way. So it doesn't really anticipate anything because it doesn't plan. It's going to do it whether, there may be some fluctuations on that. When nature will, when gets cold, warm, whatever, but the tree will have its own response to that, and it will only change when it has enough evidence. So it can't sort of make a mistake because then it will even out if and when it changes. So do you think it's the best example to be used
with this? It's not the best example, and it's not my example, actually. Yeah, but I use example from the article because they explain it like when the tree sat down on the things, and they drop their leaves, they ask why the tree don't start another bloom circle.
But the tree does.
But then the thing that one thing is about you said that the tree doesn't plan, but then they put it at that anticipatory system. They have the internal predictive model where they encode and decode information, so they don't really use the word planning.
They plan for the future in no way whatsoever. Would you agree or disagree?
But I don't know if anticipatory system has to be about planning, per se. Like, it can be about planning, but it can be also something that is just embedded in a system.
If about ecosystems, like, it doesn't apply planning. Because it doesn't.
It's nature. It's it doesn't have planning.
It doesn't plan.
But
it
that's,
it
that's
has
normal.
No
it doesn't have to plan.
It's
in our like, anticipatory system doesn't mean to plan.
But it means to anticipate, no?
Yeah, it means to anticipate, and that's what that's what the tree does.
But do you think that anticipate has some kind of a notion of knowing what will happen in the future without it being a... Because it's like... It's the seasons. It's a pattern.
But
happen.
Now you're talking about consciousness.
Yeah.
Can I just point out one thing? Like,
yeah.
Just an anecdote on sort of on the field. Like, this was I think this year, and someone I went into north of Finland. It was near Christmas. I can't remember when, but a local guy was kind of commenting how the trees they had kind of like stopped letting a lot of them letting the leaves down, and he was really noticing a lot of like. Change behavior just from the last couple of years. I don't know if it adds to the conversation or not, but I don't know. It's also known. I mean, that, I don't know how proven it is, but you know, the trees do communicate sort of somehow. They do have some level of communication.
And
with each other.
Other trees,
yeah.
I think. And
yeah, there's. It's been discussed and proven.
Yeah,
and so on. And so I don't know.
I'll
maybe it's not planning
really
as in.
Cool.
You don't sit down in the meeting room and you don't sit down and make charts, but there's some level of like.
Yeah. Emma, you had a comment.
Yeah. Just like reading pairs, if you don't know whether a tree like, drops its leaves, if it just suddenly summer never stops, like, does it? I guess that's like the question.
Oh, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah.
I can't ask you. Like, it's only this
thing.
Yeah, we've been talking about planning, and you've talked about the link between coevolution and learning. Did you see any other links, now that we've listened to all of the other presentations before, between your topics, and did you find some interesting connections other than the ones we've already discussed?
There has been, I have to think. I think it was much related to actually the collapse and the ecosystems. What was the third? Was it?
Pathogens.
Yeah. Because actually, coevolution, in a way, is resilience. Because it's it adapts and it aims to survive. And and there were like all of these turbulence and coevolution and anticipatory systems, like what they have in common is the environment, and so also kind of links. I don't know. Did you find some other? Oh, and collapse. Yeah, I was actually like trying. Like, I was writing a lot of notes like during your presentation about collapse, and after that I also asked David if turbulence might lead to collapse if the systems don't adapt or learn or co-evolve. So, in a way, I think so, yeah. If like, turbulence just continues, can it lead to, like, chaos and collapse? I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, the whole question about boundaries is present in this discussion about when you try to look at the environment, where do you draw like what's the system, what's the environment, and how does that change the perspective on what you're looking at? Like I could also, like in my case with the swing dancing, in the end I was looking at an individual dance couple at one system in the environment, but then you can look at the whole dance floor, all dancers combined as one system, versus the band as a system. but you could also look at the whole room as one system or something. Like it always changes the perspective of what kind of interactions that Emery and Trist were talking about you can actually look at and stuff like that. So
related to this, I would like to like when you saw the slide with the cultural system, it probably helps to explain this, like, how do you actually define the cultural system and
this one?
Planet Earth and theotic systems, so this might be like, also this these systems, they want to like anticipate in different ways. Do you think so?
I haven't thought about it.
Yes, because you, like this picture, am I like interpreting it in a right way? Like the cultural system is actually becoming with this cultural evolution like more dominative, kind of,
mm-hmm.
and it's not necessarily like a good thing.
No, it's not.
Yes, so, like, so what is my question?
Like, does anticipatory system somehow...
Is there a hierarchy between those? Because if you think about it, the cultural system can basically dominate.
And the cultural system can plan, but the biotic system cannot really plan, because planning is something that human beings are doing. And the cultural system is always something related to human beings. Right?
Therefore, it can dominate the two and be on. Is there a hierarchy?
What? To some extent, that like, I mean, of course, we're trying to go to Mars and everything, but we're kind of limited by our current planetary boundaries to some extent, that we can't spread beyond them. And that's where also, the way I understand it, the cultural system is kind of limited, and we need to become more aware of that. So you might see that we're possible, like the cultural system, to dominate it, but that will then lead to a collapse of the cultural system. Like, at some point, it can't expand beyond that, which is why it's also like
because
the red
system is responding to
the
our system.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you were explaining that, but could you once again explain the difference between the planet Earth and the biotic system? Is it like planet Earth boundaries or planetary boundaries?
Planet Earth is the biophysical, so like all the kind of laws like climate and ocean and that affects on the biological evolution, so the biotic system. So the biotic system is about species and genes and about why certain species stay alive and why certain don't. Like because we are all living in this planet Earth. And there's the climate that affects and the ocean that affects also on evolution. And then, what was it?
Then what is cultural system?
The cultural system appeared only there because the Homo sapiens, us, came to this planet. And
well, I mean, is it just about human? Or?
Yeah, cultural system is, as I understood, only about human
the culture that we normally use, the same meaning. Not that more.
I would say no. More than like it's not only like Japanese culture, and it's about like our economies and like all these like kind of cultural evolution. So we had like different epochs, and we and like the. Yeah. So cultural system is about human evolution. Is it so? Yeah.
Cool.
Who was next? Sorry,
can I go back to the basic definitions of evolution? Because how I understand it, it's something that happens over generations. So what is the sort of time span you're talking about here? Because my image is that an individual cannot evolve. Or is it different if you're talking about like cultural systems and a different time scale? how do you see that difference?
Yeah, but there is, as pointed out earlier, there were these five different types of evolution in that sense. So when we think of evolution, we might usually think of genetic evolution or something like that happens over generations and there is a change in our genetic set of whatever makes us up. But there are, in this sense, when it comes to the view on co-evolutionary mechanisms, there is more than, they're not just looking at the biological genetic evolution in that sense, but that also social systems can evolve, and that's like in the example with that I made with the swing dancing in the end, where one social system would be the band and the other social system would be the dancers. We're not changing anything genetically in that 5 to 10 minutes of dance or something, but the different behaviors inside the system may change based on what other, like how the other thing is progressing. So there it becomes more like it's definitely not genetic, but it's different back and forth reactions.
What's the difference between learning and evolution? I would say it's more like learning
in your body longer and then it becomes an evolution. So if when we did the exercise and we didn't want to go into each other, was that a co-evolution or was it just learning that tissue?
Well, I mean, that's I don't know what you had something, but I had a thought on that. Well, if I think back on this band dancer example, you could say, okay, there's some learning going on. And I think without learning, there is no evolution of some sort. So you need to learn, okay, this, or with the plant, like the caterpillar needs to learn, okay, this is now toxic, maybe I shouldn't eat that plant anymore if I want to survive, and then if I still need that plant to eat, to grow or something, then I need to develop some kind of coping mechanism with it. So it's probably a learning process on the next level in a way for me. Like you realize this is going well, and then you change your behavior accordingly in most of the future settings. So then you have made a change that's longer lasting, so to say. So for the band, that might be okay. We realize those people tonight, they really don't dance Charleston, so we need to slow down in a way. It's a bit, because it's a very short time frame that we're looking at in that example, but there is still this back and forth evolving. We ended up with tens of words.
Yeah.
Evolutionizing.
So
in that example, it's a very very limited set that we're looking at, but it's still like interacting with each other, these two social systems, so to say, and they need to adapt to each other in order to work, otherwise it will fall apart somehow.
Yeah,
is it my turn yet?
Yeah,
your turn.
Can this term called evolution be simply understood as interaction with each other, with different parts, and improve together, right?
Yeah.
Does it mean that the co-evolution only occurs when the different parts have a strong links, strong connections at first?
The two systems that are co-evolving. Yeah, they need to have some relation. Like,
yeah.
It's not like a plant or like a palm tree somewhere, and I don't know, some species on the other end of the planet, like if there is no kind of connection to them, then they would not be seen as co-evolving. But then you can always ask the question, so how, like, when is something really disconnected, or is there something on this Earth or in a certain system, like, can you define something that really is disconnected? Or in the end, does the behavior of that species on one end of the planet not maybe have an impact on the palm tree at the other end of the planet, because there is something that might not be a direct stuff? So it's a bit tricky to, I think, for me, like in the article, it was defined that coevolution is the process of two evolving systems that are linked together, but then, like, defining the boundaries of these two systems, it becomes a bit tricky where you make the distinctions.
Just want to give a comment about what you said about the planning, when nature doesn't know how to plan and so on. Okay, it's a matter of our perception of, we always want to fit everything to what we know. For example, when we talk about communication, when we talk about planning, we want this level of this sophisticated level of the VR planning applied to the nature, for example. Well, it's been proven that the trees are communicating through the network of their roots. So every tree are connected and they are talking to each other, but perhaps not in the level that we are talking. And the plants make sounds with the bubbles of water, for example, through their plumbing. They and that's have a direct effect on a group of them. If you place them, they talk to each other, and individually they have different voices. So they do talk, they tend to plan for what's coming, which we would be talking on the regime shift on Monday, our group. But in nature, the change that it happens, they have a different response to it rather than us humans. So that's it's a little bit hard for us from the perspective of human to understand the nature perspective, because the timing and everything is different.
But it works from a, as you said, response. It's like, they don't think that, oh, what should we do about this?
But
in 2 years, they'll respond.
I don't want to exploit the example that I want to show on Monday, but the plants or the animal, whatever, it senses that it's going to die in 4 or 6 weeks. So it's planned ahead for 4 weeks ahead. So it starts some sort of reaction to what's coming 4 or 6 weeks ahead of it. So that's way of planning, isn't it?
True. I was more referring to the, you know, when humans plan, they always try to influence future, you know, to wherever you want your future to go. It's never about responding, like.
The core thing is, I don't want to be a dual thing, please stop me whenever you want, but the core thing is to exist, to don't die, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it's going to kill the plants or animal, they try to avoid it. So their planning is based on that.
Mm-hmm.
So they try to avoid that in whatever way they can, right? So their planning is in that context.
We are planning for the thing, like, we respond to what happens and then we plan for better things.
No, we screw things and then we try to fix things,
yeah.
And then we try to do it again. That's
and
about
the future predictions. Before that was the future predictions, and before that there was as well about like sustainable future in a way. Scientists said that we have resources for 20 years, you know, that gives kind of this perception that everything will be okay for 20 years. So it's going to be next generation's problem. And it's as well kind of maybe giving that limitation is giving more bad things than good things. You know? The knowing what's going to happen in the future.
Well, this is a quick comment. Norbert, you use this dance example so frequently, but I have to ask, do you think it applies more to systems thinking or just from psychology and like schemas in psychology? Because it's starting to really sound more like that, the terms you know, schemas from psychology and systems thinking.
It was an example that we used or found in our group to explain these different topics interlinked with each other. I don't know whether you can necessarily say this is probably not hardcore systems thinking, but then what is? You think about parts and wholes and how they relate to each other. It's a way for us to understand the interaction between parts and wholes in that context. Those two scientists defining the environment, the four different type of environments, were psychologists. So there isn't you can't really study or become a systems thinker, like diploma systems thinker or something. You have a way at looking at the environment and to try to understand the system from your background. I don't know whether that answers your question, but I wouldn't write a systems thinking book, at least not yet, about swing dancing, but who knows, maybe in 10 years.
About your exercise, first of all, I thought it was really good how you visualized it and explained it after. Maybe I just didn't understand all of it. I kind of understood why we weren't allowed to speak, but the point of keeping on moving, was it just to have some rules set for us, or what was the point of that?
Yeah.
Yes, you know.
What?
It's just a rule.
Just
yeah.
a rule.
Yeah.
Around
just
the rule.
A rule.
So it didn't,
yeah.
like, there was no other point to it.
Yeah, also we needed this moving rule in a sense from our perspective was necessary in the end when we were trying to push you closer together. And we didn't know what would happen. So it was as much an experiment for you as it was for us to see what comes out of that. But for us, the idea was, okay, we try to give you rules that at some point won't work. And the keep moving rule was one thing that we thought, well, maybe that will fall apart at some point. But our idea was then to see, okay, do you actually start collaborating? Do you make new rules of yourself? From the rules that we've given you as legal rules, so to say, do you come up with own rules? Do you negotiate? Did you break the rule of talking to each other? Mostly not, but well, we thought maybe you did. eventually, when it would be push closer together or something. So we just wanted a couple of rules to see how you deal with them in the different environmental changes.
Like Carolina said, you can keep moving, but in circles, so a new rule evolve from that rule.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make some brief comments because I think you'll agree that this was a great morning, that we've learned a lot today. I've learned a lot. I had a student come and ask me why I don't lecture for 6 days. This is why I'm not lecturing for 6 days. This group has presented the most difficult content in the course in a way better than I could do it. This is better than anything I've had at the systems conference in the past 5 years. What you have done. I think you really need to be recognized for it. Thank you. So let's meet at 1:30, we'll have living systems.
Thank you.